Earlier in the program, we had that conversation about the number of kids that are being found at school with drugs or drug problems, yep. And we had a bit of a debate because I noticed that they've given out a very large number of long suspensions. And I was asking the question, well, if you've got a kid with a problem there at a school with drugs and you give them a long suspension, it means they don't go to school, so where do they go? I mean, you just don't say, okay, well, you're a problem here, so you go. Where do they go? It's okay for the school to say, well, they're not disrupting the school, but where do they go? And I said earlier, well, ask the person who I always think is the go-to person on this issue, who knows more about raising kids than anyone I know. He's got no kids of his own, but he's had about 150,000, I think, at last count, who he's been involved with. And that's, of course, Father Chris Riley, who joins us in the studio. Father Riley, good morning.
Hi, John.
Growing Great Kids is your new book. So you've put together all of this wisdom over so many years into a book so people can look at it rather than have to seek you out in the way we do.
Yeah, and it's an awareness that it's for every family, not just troubled kids like I have. I always work with the extreme down there in the darkest places in this country. And so it's for everyday parents, you know, and particularly the biggest tip I can give anyone is so simple. It's like when you're raising boys, I say, run them and feed them. That's pretty simple. This is talk. You've got to be there when the kids get home and ask them really in depth what they're going through, because kids are, again, the most dangerous place for kids nowadays is where? Their bedroom, which is really quite sad.
That's interesting, because with girls you can have that conversation. I mean, I've raised boys and girls. With boys, a lot harder. I mean, once those guys get to about 16, 15, 16, they become monosyllabic. It's, yep, nope. Did you have a good day? Yep. What did you do? Not much. Hung around? They're not very forthcoming.
Yeah, no, they're not. I guess that's the age group I really enjoy spending time with most. I still teach Year 11 and 12 English because of that age group. And I just think if you really – I push hard, really, not in an aggressive way, but just saying I need to see, I need to know how you're feeling. And when people are talking about bullying or drugs or whatever, if you know your child, you'll certainly know if they're taking a different path by asking them who they're hanging out with. Did they have a difficult time at school? Who resolved that for you? Was it resolved? And I guess the other thing which I can give you, it's not necessarily in this book, because all the stuff that's written in my books is from my study. So I'm always studying. So a lot of the stuff, this book, is from my master's in education. A lot of the stuff for the next one will be for a master's in restorative practices. And restorative practices gives a list of questions, four questions that you go into. So if you say, why do you do that? The kid will say, I don't know. Why did you do that? I don't know. So you forget the whys and the whats. You ask, what happened today? Mm. What happened in this incident? Then how did you feel about that incident? And the next day, how are you feeling now about that incident? So it's really asking the right questions so you can actually get an engagement. But if it's just a one-word, closed sentence, you'll get that one word, yep.
What do you think, say, schools should be doing with some of these kids? We've seen this rise in kids selling drugs or dealing drugs in the playground. I mean, they go and suspend the kid. They might suspend them for a week, 2 weeks, or even a month or a semester. What should they be doing?
I think many private schools would exclude them straight away, to be really honest. In public schools, they can give, I think, up to, I don't know exact the exact guidance, but it's up to 20-day suspension. And what schools often do is say, suspend a kid for 20 days, a kid comes back, does something that day, suspend for another 20 days until the kid eventually says, what's the point anymore? And what we've got at Marylands is a drug and alcohol program, and the manager of that is open to schools, because what we're saying is to remove a young person from a school is to remove them from the most significant program community they're involved with. It's massive disruption, and it certainly will if you remove them, unless they find somewhere else, they'll form a subgroup and get involved in all sorts of negative activities. So we basically would be saying we're open to working with schools so that they come over, kids come over to our drug and alcohol program for a month, then go back into the school with support. And I think we really encourage, because there's so many kids out there doing drugs, and we think the easiest way is to say, just expel you, just suspend you multiple times until you give up. We're saying get help for the young person and put them back into that school, which is their most important community.
Do you get enough help, though, from the government? Because you run these programs, you're available there, you're the answer in many cases. This is where this kid can go. Are they aware of it? Do you get enough funding? Do you get enough support?
Absolutely not. We get 40% government funding of a $28 million budget now, whereas most organisations will get up to 90 to 100%. You might say, what's wrong with me? One is I speak out. But more importantly, when I see a place in crisis, and we moved to Bourke last year, and that was an incredibly place that needed us, we move and we automatically commit $300,000 to $400,000 to that community per year. And we do that regularly into Bankstown when that's stabbing death. So we move quickly into the troubled areas and we haven't secured the funding for that.
Can I just say, because I've known you for a long time, he's got a board. Listeners should understand there's a board of youth off the streets. That you're talking about 16 to 17 million a year you've got to raise from somewhere to support these. So what will happen is something will happen, as you were just saying, Bourke, Blacktown, whatever, something will happen, and Chris Riley will think, well, we better get in there. So you go in there, and the people on your board are going, well, how are we going to pay for this? You go in and do things, and some of the things you've done over the years have been remarkable.
Yeah, they have, and the board is a bit more understanding. And I must admit, when it comes to budget time, though, Dr. John, I'm ruthless in terms of saying, no, we're not. You're over budget. We've got to be able to respond to those interventions because that's our bread and butter.
So you want more government funding, but also, you know, the Catholic Church, one of the richest organisations in this country, does that give enough money, your own church?
Well, it doesn't give any money to me.
And should it?
No, I don't know. It may complicate things.
It's a worthy cause, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think one of the bishops once said to me, you bring many blessings to the church. But I remember asking for $30,000 for a bus and it turned into an inquisition. I'm thinking, I need to be able to move within hours, not come in here for an inquisition over $30,000. So the people in the pews certainly have given a lot and we've got many bequests through the church, people on the seats in there. I haven't done that for a while and need to get back to do that, but it's difficult when you challenge church decisions about removing priests who are involved in abuse publicly. Yep. So run that risk, but I've done this for 41 years, protected kids for 41 years. Why would I stop now?
Yeah. What about Australians as a whole? Are we becoming more philanthropic? Are we more giving? Or do you worry about that sometimes?
Yeah, I think the most expensive and the most rich people, I guess, many don't give at all, I don't think, and I think that concerns me. We're sustained by the pensioner who sends in $5. The grass core really believe in what we do, and I get incredible support from them, and we seem to be keeping afloat. We have put in for a lot of grants over the last couple of weeks. Hopefully some of those will come off, working in Aboriginal communities and so forth, because it just means I believe 50% from us, 50% from the government, I can live with that, whereas most organisations will say, we're not opening any service unless it's fully funded.
Mm. Yep. All right, Father Riley, great to see you as always. I've learned something today. I've got a seven-year-old, and I often say, why did you do that, mate? So I've got to...
What happened?
Address my language, and I'll get a better answer.
Yeah, and just on your other thing, my three Great Danes would not... live in an apartment.
Yeah. Now, how big are they? Tell me how Collingwood is your biggest. Is that right?
No, Collingwood's my youngest now. Woods is 75 kilo.
75
and the
kilos.
Two younger ones.
No wonder you're always fundraising. You need it for the dog food.
It got good insurance.
How much do they eat every day?
1.5 kilo.
These are huge
meat
dogs.
A day.
Yeah, meat, rice, those sorts of things. And I've got real horses too, so that would be a problem in apartments. I live in the bush.
Yeah, you'd need to.
Yeah, you couldn't live in an apartment.
I bought them up once or twice here, didn't I?
You did. You brought them up here and they're usually well-behaved. Although, which one was it? Was it Woods or Collingwood? One of our competitors who does another breakfast radio show was hosting an event and I think, was it Woods or Collingwood? And right in front of the lectern.
No, did he?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I lost two to cancer over the last few years, so all of mine are young.
It's the endearing part of the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, no, they're fantastic. They keep the kids organised in class.
Wow. Oh, very good. Kilos
thanks,
of John. Meat
thanks,
a day.
Sherry.
Great to see the book's called Growing Great Kids from Father Chris Riley. Sue Williams has helped you write it, and there's a lot of wisdom there. Thank you for coming
in. Thanks, John. Thanks.